I am certainly glad to be here with you this morning. I want to speak about a subject that I think we'll all agree with, and that is happiness. Happiness is a direction, not a place. Happiness can be found in the living, the little things. Happiness is not an ideal of reason, but of imagination. Finding definitions for happiness is not a problem, but finding happiness is the problem for many people. Everybody is trying to find that happiness. Many people, though, are looking in the wrong place. Many are searching in things. They think, if I can have that certain house, I can be a happy person. If I can make a certain amount of money, I will be happy. If I can have that certain car, that will make me very happy. Some people think it's in places. If I can live in a large city, I'll be very happy. If I can live in the country, that would make me happy. Some look for happiness in people. If I can have that certain spouse, I'll be very happy. Most people don't realize, though, that a happy life is so close. A happy life can be found in each of us if we are only willing to look for it. You know, as I said, I was in radio for 37 years. Most of those years I spent, one of my jobs was music director. And it was for two different radio stations. So I was exposed to many types of music, and today I still enjoy many types of music. But I guess my favorite is country music. And today they call it classic country music. And most of you recognize this gentleman here, Hank Williams Sr. Although he has been gone now 67 years, his music still influences a lot of country artists and a lot of other artists today. A lot of his songs that he wrote was about his life, his short and tragic life. Some of his songs were very positive in nature. One of his songs that he wrote was influenced by a comment by his mother. During his early career, his mother would take him to his shows. And on the way home, they could always recognize they were getting close to home, which was usually late at night or early in the morning, because they could see the light from the Montgomery, Alabama airport. And one morning, as he was traveling home, Hank was asleep, and she awoke Hank and said, "Hank, I saw the light." And from that statement, Hank wrote one of my favorite song that he wrote, a tremendous hit that was for him, "I Saw the Light." You know, I think Hank was a man that was looking for happiness in his life. He tried to find it in his music. He tried to find it in different relationships throughout his life. Sadly, he tried to find it in a bottle of alcohol most of the time. But if Hank could only have taken the advice from that song that he wrote, the first lyrics, "I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came to me like a stranger in the night, and praise the Lord, I saw the light." Toward the end of his life, Hank Williams was performing at the Grand Ole Opry. He was backstage at the Opry, and he was talking with Minnie Pearl. And Minnie said, "Hank, sing I Saw the Light." And with sad eyes, he said, "Minnie, there is no light for me." Hank Williams died just a few months later, on January 1st, 1953, at the age of 29. He was looking for happiness. He was searching for happiness. You know, a happy life comes from within each of us, and it flows outward to God in the form of our faith and our obedience to Him. See, when we become a Christian, we receive the joy that only comes from God. In the passage there that Dan read, in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy." The God of hope fill you with all joy. Not just a little joy, but fill you up. And it's based on our believing, according to that passage. When we believe in Him and follow Him, He will fill us with joy. You know, like faith is the foundation to our spiritual well-being, joy from God is our foundation to a happy life. That's the foundation that we build on. And just for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about some things that we can add to that foundation that may give us a happy life. These suggestions that I have this morning. Now, the first one, I would guess that most people in the world today would not even list, would not even be on their list. But for a Christian, it's a must. And that is serving others. I want to look at two passages that will talk about that this morning. First of all, in Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only to do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, what he is saying here, "Now, brethren, you are free from the Jewish observances now that you are following Christ, but it does not mean that you have freedom to indulge in things that are forbidden." And then in that last part of this text, it says, it gives us the motivator for our Christian morality. And that is, namely, through love, we serve our brethren. Service to our brethren. Now the other passage, as we look, is in Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Notice here, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Paul is writing to Christians. He is saying, Christians are God's workmanship. God created Christians. How did He create Christians? Through Jesus Christ. Through His sacrifice upon the cross. Through His blood, we have been created. What purpose? For good works. For good works, we have been created by God. You know, studies indicate that opportunities to serve others result in a stronger sense of purpose, a meaning in life, leading to a better mental and physical well-being. That is our meaning in life as Christians, to serve others. I see that quite often, people searching for the meaning of life. If they would just look to God, you can find it. You can find the meaning of life. Yes, we need to serve others for a happy life. For a happy life, throw out non-essential numbers. I'm talking about age, weight, and height. Let the doctor worry about that. That's what we pay doctors for. Let them worry about it. Now, I said worry. I didn't say how to have to concern. Sometimes we need concern if we need to adjust our weight in certain ways, our health, we need to have that concern. But don't worry about it. I see so many people worrying about getting old. I have to say, I fell into that trap one time when my hair started turning gray back when I was 10 years old. I tried to dye it, get it black, and I thought, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm through with that. I'm not going to worry about that. You know, a great passage on worry we read about in Matthew 6, 25 and 27. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" What are you saying? Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 second to your life? Not a one of us. Worrying gets us nowhere. When we worry, worry does not take away tomorrow's troubles, but it does take away today's peace. Yes, we need to throw out a lot of these non-essential numbers in our life. The next thing for a happy life, keep only true friends. Now, I have to admit, a lot of my true friends can't jump like this, but I have to admit I can't either, so that doesn't bother me that much. But we need to keep true friends. You know, a lot of times people pretend to be our friends because they need us to do something or they need us to sell something to us. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about that. In Proverbs 18:24, he says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Here, two kinds of friends are contrasted in this proverb. First of all, those who look like friends. They pretend to be friends. We have a great example of this in Luke chapter 15. Those are the friends of the prodigal son. We know that story very well. The prodigal son comes to his father and wants his inheritance. And his father agrees and gives him his inheritance. And he goes off to a far country. And he lives a life that is against the laws of God. He lives a life where he gets a lot of friends. His friends come in and help him drink his liquor. His friends come in and help him spend his money. And then when his money is gone, his friends are gone. Not a friend there to give him a crust of bread when he's in with the pigs trying to find something to eat. Those are the pretend friends. But then it says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That is a true friend. Those are the ones we need to keep. There are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend that will stay with you through thick and thin. He's always there. You know, a true friend will never, never leave you. Yes, in distance they might, but never in heart. They're always with you. Yes, for a happy life, keep your true friends. Another thing for a happy life, never stop learning. Keep learning in your life. Don't set back and say, "Well, I'm too old, I'm done, I'm just going to rest from now on." Keep learning. You like computers? Learn about computers. You like crafts? Do crafts. You like gardening? I still garden some. I still grow a few tomatoes. I had some great tomatoes. If you don't believe me, I got some of the fattest groundhogs in the county over there that ate all my tomatoes. But I enjoy gardening. Do it. Whatever your interest is, do it. Do more of it. Never let your brain become idle. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. The book of Proverbs talks about this. It says, "A wise man lay up knowledge." Now, in order, if one lays up knowledge, then one must seek knowledge. We must seek knowledge to lay it up. Always keep learning. And of course, when we learn, the more we learn about life, the more incredible life becomes. The pursuit of knowledge is a life changer for us. But most importantly, we need to keep learning God's Word. God's living Word. God's Word that every time we read it, we see something new. We see something beautiful within the pages of this book. See, the more you learn God's Word, the closer we draw to Him and the closer He draws to us. So keep learning. Keep learning. Now the next two go together and they don't go together in life, but they do. The first one, laugh often. Don't be a sour person. Laugh. When's the last time you laughed so hard you were gasping for air? We need to do that. We need to have joy in our hearts. We need to laugh often. Laugh so much that you can be tracked down in a store by your laughter. I know some people that if I'm in a crowd and if I hear them laugh, I know who they are. Because I recognize that laugh. They're a happy person. The Bible talks about laughter. And it says God's people should have laughter. Look at Psalms 126 and 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said them among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Has the Lord done great things for you? If He has, there should be laughter in your mouth. There should be singing on your tongue. You should be a happy person. The Lord has done great things for us. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Those two words, continual feast, also has the meaning of a positive outlook. If you have a merry heart, you have a positive outlook. You look at things differently than a lot of other people do. You see the positive outlook of things in this life instead of the negative outlook. You know, I believe our Lord and Savior had a sense of humor. I surely believe that. From the comment we read in Matthew 23 and 24, there He is talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and He said there in verse 24, He says, blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you'll swallow a camel. Can you see that in a cartoon, a man trying to swallow a camel? Yes, you see, the Lord was making a comical note there to prove a positive point. Yes, I believe He had a sense of humor. See, remember, a good laugh heals a lot of hurt when we can have a good laugh in our life. Now, just the opposite of this, laughed often, we have to remember tears will happen. The tears will come to our eyes. The pain will pierce our heart. And grief will attack our soul. That is life. That's part of this life. We come to many trials and tribulations throughout our life that we have to face. And a three-step way to face these is to endure it. With God's help, we can endure it. We need to grieve if we have to. And then we must move on. We must move on in this life. We can't stop. We have to keep going. I believe there are four steps that really will get us through trials. First of all, accept the reality of life. Bad things are going to happen to you. A lot of time life is not fair. It's going to happen. And one thing that we all have in common that's sitting here tonight, or this morning, death is coming. We don't know when, where, or how, but to all of us, death is going to happen. We need to accept that. It's a part of life. It's coming. We cannot do that. We cannot do anything about it. Next, when we have trials and tribulations, express your sorrow. Whatever it takes, don't hold it back. Get it out. Go to that true friend that you have. Talk. Get rid of that sorrow. Get it out of your life. Another thing, allow others to help. Don't do it on your own. If you need help, get help. Don't go through the sorrow or tribulations by yourself. But most importantly, cast your burdens upon the Lord. There in 1 Peter 5 and 7. You know, we cannot cast that death we have suffered upon the Lord, but we can cast that pain that we're having, that with the sorrow that we're having deep in our heart upon the Lord. He is the true comforter. He can comfort us during those times if we cast that burden upon Him. Yes, in this life, tears will happen. Another thing for a happy life, cherish your health. Cherish your health. If you have good health this morning, preserve it. Do whatever you can to preserve that good health that you may have. I praise God that my health is pretty good. Now, as I get older, it starts going down. But I praise God that it is. Now, I want to preserve it. If you need to exercise, exercise. If you need to change your diet a little bit, change it. Whatever. Preserve your health. If it's unstable, if your health is unstable, improve it. If you need to exercise, if you need to cut out certain foods, improve it. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, "There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Promotes health. A wise person will promote health, will stay a healthy person. If it's unstable, prove it. If it's beyond what you can do to improve it, seek help. Seek the help of a doctor. You know, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 8:22, he talks about that. He says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people?" He talks about medicine. He talks about seeing a physician when we need to and take the advice of the physician. I have a friend who told me that a few years ago he had a very severe heart attack. And he says, "Boy, I just don't like my heart doctor now. I just don't like him. And I know the doctor he's talking about, and this doctor has a great reputation." And I said, "What's wrong with the doctor?" "Well, he's always after me to quit smoking." I said, "Well," and I thought to myself, "it's not the doctor, it's the advice." If we have something wrong, take care of our health. And the main reason that we need to take care of our health is that by taking care of your health, that it may serve you to serve God. When we take care of our health, we can serve God better. Next thing for our happy life, don't take guilt trips. I think this happens to a lot of us as we get older. We love to take a trip down that guilt lane. We love to think about things in the past and wonder what we could have done to make them better. If you start that trip, get up and get out of the house. Go to the store. Go to another county. Go to a true friend. Don't take that trip. Because when we go to guilt country, when we get there to guilt country, we go to the capital city. And that capital city is what if. We sit there with all the what ifs. What if I'd done this? What if I'd said that? What if I'd been there when that had happened? Would it made a difference? Don't take those guilt trips. And a lot of times we try to take on the guilt of others, some people that are close in our lives, relatives or some, we try to feel guilty for them. Don't do that. Ezekiel 18 and 20 tells us, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness is upon the righteous, and they shall be upon himself, and the wickedness is on the wicked, and shall be upon himself. Don't bear the guilt of others. Here's some thoughts about getting rid of guilt. First of all, focus on the things that you can do, the good things you do. Think about the things, the cards that you may send to people, the calls that you make to people, the food that you cook for people. Think about the things that you do when you start to feel guilty about things. Break down what's making you feel guilty. If there's something that you've done that you can correct, correct it. Get rid of that guilt. But if there's something that you cannot do anything about, get rid of the guilt. Accept that it's totally okay to take care of your own needs. I see this a lot of times in people as they get older who used to do a lot of things for a lot of people, but they get to the point where they're unable and they feel guilty about it. Don't do that. You've worked a long, hard time. Take care of yourself now. Don't feel guilty. And also embrace the fact that guilt is a first cousin to worry. It's a useless emotion. It's a useless emotion. Don't feel guilty. See, guilt is to the spirit what pain is to the body. The next one, I think, is one of the most important things. At every opportunity that you have, tell the people you love them. At every opportunity that you have. How many times in your life have you said, I wish I could have told them one more time I love them? How many times have you said that? I know I have many times. You know, the Bible talks a lot about love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fears. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:7, love, for love is of God. 1 Corinthians 8:1, love will build you up. Love will edify you. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love will never fail. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest. But faith and hope will become reality one day when we get to heaven. But love will last forever. Love one another. John 13:34-35. Remember this about love. You always gain by giving love. Every time you have the opportunity to tell the people that's close to you that you love them, tell them. Then finally, worship God faithfully. Worship God faithfully. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I won't read it this morning because of the time, but in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, is a great description of worship. In those few verses there, Isaiah in verses 1 through 4 talks about the awareness of being in the presence of God. As Larry talked about this morning, as we begin our worship, God is here with us. And Isaiah makes a beautiful description of God being in the presence of God. In verse 5 there, Isaiah talks about his unworthiness. And we are unworthy to be in the presence of God this morning. But then in verse 6 and 7, he talks about the cleansing and forgiveness that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the reason we can come into the presence of God. And then finally in verse 8, he talks about the response of our soul after we worship God. And that response should be, God, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. See, it is pleasing of God that is in the heart of our worship. This morning, these are just some suggestions that I've given about having a happy life. Serve others, throw out non-essential numbers, keep only true friends, keep learning, laugh often. Remember, tears are going to come in this life. Cherish your health. Don't take your guilt trips. At every opportunity, tell people that you love them and worship God. Worship God because we please Him when we bring our worship to Him. But as I said at the beginning, the foundation to a happy life starts when we become a child of God. Then we receive the joy from God. That joy that is in our hearts. You know, coming up in a few months, we're going to have an election. I'm going to get a little political here. We're going to have an election coming up in a few months. Everybody in here has their own political views. I've got mine too. But I've got one view that every Christian in this room should have. I don't care who gets elected president, what party wins it. Because I still know who's in control of this world, and that's my Heavenly Father. He is in control of this world, and that's all that matters. And I know that no political party can take away the joy of God from my heart. No one on this earth can. You have to give it up. This morning, I hope you have that joy in your heart. I hope you are a child of God, but if you're not, don't leave this building without making a change. Become a child of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to turn away from the world and follow Jesus Christ, if you're willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you will receive that joy from God that no one can take away. Make that decision this morning if you need to. Or maybe this morning you've wandered away. Maybe there's something in your life that's separating you from God. That needs to be corrected. Whatever your needs may be, please come as together we stand and sing.